Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house tonight, isn't it? Father, we just thank you that you are the God of Calvary. You are Lord of our lives, Lord of everything that is going on. As we come before you tonight, we just thank you for everything that you're doing, have been doing, and will continue to do, for your goodness and your mercy. We lift up those who are sick among us, especially those who are battling with this different respiratory infirmities, ailments, bronchitis, pneumonia, coughs, colds, sinus infections. We thank you, Father, for releasing your healing anointing into all of us. And Father, as we go forth now with the word, we pray that it would go deep within our spirits, that you would bring a joy, you would bring a new sense of peace and fulfillment. And we give you honor for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this, Complain at Your Own Risk. I thought this would be kind of fitting for a Thanksgiving message. You know, a lot of people's concentration is on the turkey and the fellowshipping with the family. So it's kind of a good time to remember, don't complain. He's making us stronger. He's making us better people for him. And that's something to praise him about. If you look at the first slide there, it says, if you're not helping to make it right, then stop complaining about it being wrong. This is it's a very true statement. Sometimes we're quick to say, well, I would have done it this way, or it should be done that way. You know, but you're sitting on the sidelines not doing anything at all. So if you're not contributing, be quiet. Be quiet. The second slide there says, the worst person to be around is someone who complains about everything and appreciates nothing. I find this to be very true, because, and we'll see this as we go through the rest of tonight, that complaining nature, that complaining attitude brings everybody down. You can withstand it for a little bit, but if it's not nipped in the bud right away, it kills everybody's mood, takes the joy right out of the atmosphere, and it's counterproductive. So we're giving thanks tomorrow. But we want to make this a continual habit, a continual practice in our lives every day. In honor of the Thanksgiving holiday, I composed this message on complaining. I believe that I have the nature of God down on the inside of me. I believe you all do too as well. I believe that he has rooted himself deeply inside of me and also in you. You know, we're blessed. We have all types of clothes, different styles, different brands. We have to stop making excuses. We have to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to stop saying, I'm black. You know, we have to stop saying, I'm a poor white person. All of those things that we use as tools to not do anything, to not go forward, to not go where God wants us to go. We have to become grateful for what we have. We have to stop looking at the things that we think God owes us. And we have to start appreciating what we have. It's just that simple. I mean, it's God has given us so much. If you look at the material things that we have, we are a rich, rich people. If he didn't give us any other thing from this point forward in our lives, we have a bonus because we understand that God loves us. There are so many people out there who don't even know that simple truth. They don't even experience the things that we've experienced in here. The fellowship that we've experienced one with another. You know I have a friend in each and every person that's here. I know you all have my back. There are people who walk the streets every day and they don't know that. They have no one. We really, really, really need to be grateful for what we have. Everything's not perfect. It's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be. Let's get rid of the complaining side. Let's get rid of our complaining nature. And let's push it to the next level. Because that guy there, there's many, many more like him who are even far worse than him. And they're doing so much more. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Proverbs 25:28. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. I believe that God wants us all to have a higher standard than those in the world. What honor does it give God if our attitudes and actions match those that are in the world? This is going to be important to you as the days get harder. Even though we have Trump in office right now, and we have the promise of some different things financially and spiritually that are going to be better, we still have all of those other prophecies that are sitting out there saying destruction's coming. We still have the darkness that is getting darker, that is looming over us. And we have to be very, very careful at this time to not become complacent and get excited about what's going on and forget that these other things are still looming in the background. This is going to become important to you as the days get harder. There is so much activity in the spirit realm, it would be easy to get caught up in the atmosphere. Many people are upset and disgruntled with life, their families, their jobs. Sometimes they don't even like themselves. Many people are upset. They carry such a negative atmosphere around them that it can be like poison to your spirit man. We have to actively fight against that poison, this poison of complaining. Choose each day, each moment to find something to be happy about. Choose to find something to be positive about. Sometimes you may not want to say or find something. Force yourself to do it. If you have to think and dig down on the inside of you and say, you know, I have clean toes. God bless your clean toes and be excited about it. You know, it's something. It's better than dirty toes. James 1, verses 2 to 27. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich man in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. You don't have any money. Don't complain about it. You know, you don't have the things that you think you deserve, you desire, just given time. Don't complain about it. Because there's a time and a season for all things. And this may be your particular time and season to be without. We like to forget that particular chapter of scripture in Ecclesiastes 3, where it says there is a time and a season for all things. You just may happen to be in a time where you're not supposed to have anything. Are you going to get mad at God? Are you going to point your fist up at him and say, how dare you? How could you? You know, what right do you have to tell me what to do? Well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Settle it in your heart. You cannot win. You can try to fight against him if you want to. Can't win. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that he might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When desire has conceived, if you open up your spirit man, if you open up your soul to let the complaining nature come inside of you, it doesn't stop. It keeps building and building and building. It seeks more to complain about. There is no satisfaction to this when it comes. So you have to stop it. As soon as you feel it rising up, if you don't, it's going to suck you in, and it's going to suck everyone else in around you. Verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow the wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Very powerful scripture. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. This is a clear sign, a clear-cut direction. Watch what you're saying. Don't allow yourself to get into the complaining mood, because that's a sign that there's something wrong. That's a sign that you're having a struggle internally with bitterness. That's a sign that you're having a struggle internally with resentment. And you feel as if you've been robbed by God, by the people around you, and you feel that you're owed something. You haven't gotten justice for something. Now, there's a difference between complaining and praying. If you're going before the Father, you're telling him, hey, you promised me X, Y, and Z. It hasn't come. I'm still holding on to faith. I'm still holding on to the promise that you've given me. That's not complaining. When you get to the point where you're shaking your fist at God, you're angry at him and saying, when are you going to do this? This has to come now. You owe me, blah, 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 blah. You're complaining. You're not waiting in faith. You're not waiting with expectancy. You're complaining. You're not going to make anything happen. You're actually pushing it back further. So, okay, have not been able to perfect patience in them so they can wait a little bit longer. Yeah, is that real? It is that real. And the best thing to do is to not complain. Because if you complain, you're setting yourself up for a longer delivery time and a longer receipt time for you to have that promise that God has for you. You've heard Pastor Barber talk about going around the mountain. God will let you go around it as many times as you want to. This thing with the complaining is so, so important, because God is working and developing patience in us. He's working and developing love in us. And sometimes we think we have patience and love. God will put somebody around you that complains and will show you how much you don't have it, because you're sitting there listening to them. And then you start thinking, yeah, you're right. And you start getting into that complaining mode with them. You just push yourself backwards. You just push yourself backwards. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I believe that God is asking us to do this as a practice, to not complain, as a way of life, so that when the tough times come our way, we won't allow the circumstances of life to steal our joy. These scriptures that we just read are action scriptures. These are things that we must do daily to ensure that we guard and protect, that we are guarded and protected from the poison of complaining. Set your mind on things above. If you get in a crowd of people at the grocery store and everyone is complaining about how long it's taken, find something positive to say to break up that atmosphere. If you don't say it aloud so everyone can hear you, if you're not bold enough to do that, say it to yourself so that you don't pick up that atmosphere in your spirit. Is very critical. I found myself in these types of situations, and I wound up going home and unawares, and I wound up saying something that I shouldn't have said, but it had nothing to do with the people that was at home. It was something that I picked up somewhere else. I'm finding that we are more open to different people's attitudes. I used to think not so, but I'm finding this to be true. You can be happy and singing on the inside, and someone steps into the room and says something to rip the joy right out of your soul. Rip it right out your soul. And you're not even trying to let that happen, but it just does. Maybe it shouldn't be this way, but it does happen. Okay, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's really hard to complain if you're doing everything is unto the Lord. Try this. You could be in a situation that's hard and very frustrating. You have to take those opportunities to do your work is unto the Lord. Lord Jesus, these people are driving me crazy. These kids are driving me crazy. But this work has got to get done, and I need you to help me have a good attitude while I do this. I'm doing this for you. If you can do that, you will survive. You will survive. You would be surprised how your mood changes, your heart becomes light, and you can get the work done a lot quicker if you would just be happy about it. A broken spirit dries the bones. I can't tell you how many times we've had to counsel people, and they need love, but they have allowed complaining to settle into their hearts. It dries out their bones. They become critical and evil, and no one wants to be around them. And I have to say, I've been on this side too. Oh, God. Sometimes you need to seek the Lord to get your soul wounds healed. I'm dealing with a person now who has been going through bitterness for almost 30 years. They are miserable. They feel like God has left them. They have very little joy. It's sad to see them like this. It's sad to be around them because they could really enjoy themselves if they would let go of the people who hurt them. I can relate to this. I've had people hurt me all of my life, but I had to make the decision that I wasn't going to complain about them. You have to do that. I wasn't going to seek vengeance on them. I had to constantly work at forgiving. It wasn't worth my salvation. It's not worth yours. It wasn't worth my walk with God. I myself have been through a lot of exorcisms, and it was surprising to me that even with the knowledge that I had about complaining and bitterness, that fragments and pieces of the person who sinned against me had attached themselves to me. I'm minding my own business. Trying to stay right. Trying to stay out of complaining and bitterness and all of that. And here they are yanking pieces of this person out and that person out. It's like, why? God, I tried to keep myself straight and right. Imagine if I wouldn't have done that. Imagine if I would have got into the bitterness and the resentment that they had. It would have been far much worse. So don't feel like you're not accomplishing anything. Don't feel like you're not doing anything. You are sparing your soul from collecting demons. You win. You win by not getting in that attitude. It was mind-blowing to come to the understanding of this. You see, God knows how to keep us protected from getting demonic spirits. Recently, there was a time in my life that I had to fight with bitterness. It was all that I could do to not let those thoughts take me down and start complaining about things. My father recently passed away from cancer this summer, and there was an opportunity to be mad at this situation. There was an opportunity to be mad and complain about the staff and the nurses and the medicines, but I chose to stay out of it. It was hard. It was very, very hard. But I didn't want to become messed up behind my father passing away. Couldn't stop it. He's gone. Why am I going to get demons because of something that I can't control? Why are you going to get demons because of something you can't control? Don't open the door by complaining. Whoever had no rule over his own spirit. God gives us a certain amount of control, a certain amount of authority to handle things with our soul, with our body, with our spirit. We have to use that. That's a part of our task. That's a part of our daily walk with him of staying clean and staying pure. He expects us to maintain that. If you don't understand anything that is being said tonight, please understand that you have a choice. You have a choice. Through Christ, you can rule over your own spirit. Through Christ, you can make decisions that will be positive and not negative. Complaining puts you in a box that will destroy you, because you have soon found yourself in the company of other complainers. I'm going to repeat that. Complaining puts you in a box that will destroy you, because you have soon found yourself in the company of other complainers. It's that serious. I have watched this over the years but with different spirits. When the enemy really has you down for the count, he will send other people who have the same mindset as you. Spirit draws to spirit. And that's capital S, capital S. And the next one is little spirit draws to little spirit. Flesh to flesh, lust to lust, gossiping to gossiping, and on and on and on. All the sins that we partake of unwillingly, as it should be unwillingly at this point. Amen. Everybody's saving here, right? Now we can pray for you right now. Get out, devil. If you ever start to find yourself in the company of someone who is a complainer and you don't do anything to remove yourself from that company, that is a sign that you have a problem. And I'm saying that from a standpoint, if you're not there to minister to them, but if you're there entertaining them, you're getting involved in their complaining, you're getting involved in their bitterness, that's a trouble sign. You know, something's wrong. There's something inside of you that's pulling that person to you. Hey, let me tell you what else they did to me today. You don't want to be involved in all of that. If they're coming and asking for prayer, that's different. But if you're engaging and you're pulling in, you know, the same thing, there's a problem. When you recognize it, shut it down. Other people with the same sin nature are feeding off what's in you, and bad company corrupts good morals. Now we're going to look at Ruth. Ruth is a good example of this. Ruth and Naomi, because she was a good person, and Naomi was a good person too, but she was just going through a hard time. And because of Ruth's love for Naomi, she was able to help lift her out of the situation that she was in. So let's look at Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 6 and go to verse 22. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from that place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." The history to this here is that Naomi's husband had died. Ruth, and I forget the name of the other lady, their husbands had died. They went through, Orpha. Yeah, there you go. See, thank you. Their husbands had died. So now you got three widows sitting here. There's an opportunity for some severe complaining to go on in this situation here. It's unreal. It just really is. So Naomi, in her wisdom, because she was older, she's like, "I really don't want more bitterness to be coming upon me. I want to shut this down. I'm sending these young widows away from me so I can be by myself." So she did. She sent Orpah away, and she tried to send Ruth away. Ruth said, "Nope, I'm here. I'm stuck with you for life." So verse 9. "The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I too am old. I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go on with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had to come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So the whole thing that I'm trying to get at here is, you see through the chain of events what's going on with Naomi. And she's trying to fight back from getting into this complaining, bitter spirit, and the bitterness was working with her. But through the course of time, through God's love, through Ruth's patience and their love for one another, they were able to work, and God blessed Ruth. God blessed Naomi through Ruth, because they did not get into the bitterness of the situation. They stayed out of complaining. They stayed in love, and they had faith. And as God worked those things out in them, they were able to progress and get the blessings that God had intended for them. There's times if you're not strong, you have to be honest and say, "Hey, I see this situation for what it is right now. This particular person here has a complaining attitude, a complaining spirit." You need to be man or woman enough to say, I can't help you. I really would like to, but if I jump into this battle right now, we're both going down. You have to be that honest. And there's times when God will tell you, "Hey, you can't minister to people. You need to take a step back. And you need to be built up, because if not, you're going to go down and you're not coming back up." Real talk here. Real talk. So everyone here is a minister, and you've been ministering. If God tells you not to do a certain thing, it's for your good. It's for your benefit. So please take it to heart. There's going to be times in your ministry where God will tell you to sit down. He may not tell you why. He may not tell you why. Don't get upset with God. Don't start complaining and murmuring against him, because it's not fair that you're letting everybody else minister and I can't say anything. I can't do anything. He's doing it for, he's protecting you. That's the biggest thing I can tell you. He's protecting you. Embrace that protection. Naomi knew that She had been handed some bitter circumstances. Ruth loved her through those circumstances. This is how you really know true love. There was nothing that Naomi could have possibly done for Ruth. You ever think about that? Nothing. She had given up everything. It was done. It was over with. Naomi told Ruth to leave, but Ruth's love compelled her to stay. Sometimes you're going to be placed in a situation where your tables are turned. The person may have been a giver to you, but because of the circumstances of life, they're unable to. God is testing you to see, do you really have the love that you say you do? Are you loving them just for who they are, because the Spirit of God has told you to love them? Or are you loving them for what they can give you, what they can do for you? It's God, if you understand how real this is, because the body of Christ is missing this in this season right now, because we're looking for somebody to hand us something, and God is really trying to teach us love. He's really trying to get us to walk in love. Stop looking for somebody to give you something. You know, move to a place in a position where you're giving, you know, not with an expectation, I'm going to give because they're going to give me something back. That's wrong. That is so wrong. And you're missing the biggest blessing by not giving. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving of yourself, giving of your heart, giving of your talent for the work of the Lord, for the Father. You're withholding it because you're looking for somebody to give you something. You know, I need somebody to give me some money to do this. We've had plenty of people come in here. No music. Can do praise and worship. We're awesome. Bang it. You're going to pay me $75 of service. No, we're not. No, we're not. You can go right back out that door because the person that God wants to do it, when they're ready, when God's ready for that, they're going to walk in the door. I don't care. I don't want to be paid. I'm doing it just for the Lord. Same thing. Everything else, it applies every other place. Let's look at Genesis 35, verses 16 and 19. This is talking about Rachel and Jacob. This is another situation where bitterness had gotten into the mix. Then they journeyed from Bethlehem. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, Bethlehem, Rachel began to give birth and had difficulty and suffered severely. When she was in hard labor, the midwife said to her, "Do not be afraid. You now have another son." And as her soul was departing, for she died, she named him Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Rachel was in sorrow in bitterness over her circumstances. If you read the story, they were moving from one place to another. It was a hard journey. And, you know, I'm pregnant. Now you're moving. Can you imagine with camels and donkeys and all this stuff? You got to pack this stuff up. Yeah, you're pregnant, but you still got your job to do. Can't get into complaining. You can't, you know, Jacob didn't say, "Hey, all right, I see. I'm pretty sure he helped her, but there were still some things that she had to do." You're going to be in situations where you're broken, bruised, battered. God's still going to call upon you. All right, I know what's going on. I've known all along. I still need you to get up and do something. You cannot get into a place of complaining about that. You have to move. You have to be willing. You have to be obedient in those situations and in those times. This is Numbers 11, verses 1 to 15. If you really want to complain, this here should clear it all up. I'm telling you right now, it should clear it all up. Numbers 11, verses 1 to 15. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. And his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses had prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude of people who were among them yielded to the intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." The children of Israel were complaining. God is dropping food down out of the sky every day. Every day. This coriander, this manna, good food. Nah, we don't want that, God. We want some meat. I don't want to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't want to eat pinto beans. You're going to give me a ham and cheese sandwich. This is what they were saying. I want to make this real to you. You know, one set of people in the camp got burnt up. Do you think that was enough for them to say, I'm not going to complain? No, hey, God, you don't know what you're talking about. That fire was a mystery over there. I'm still going to complain. God, I want some meat. I want some meat. Give me some meat now. Okay. Now the man was like coriander seed in his color, like the color of delium. The people went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones or beat it into mortar, cooked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of the tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses was also displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian, nurse as a nursing child,' to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they will weep over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." There were some more people that was cooked and burnt up over this particular situation. So here's my larger point. The people complained. God dealt with them. The people kept complaining. It went up the chain to the leadership. So we all affect everybody. So if we're complaining down here, there's a chance that you're going to get us all killed. You're going to get us all killed. I'm sorry. So let's not complain. Let's be grateful and thankful for the things that we have so that we can live and fulfill the promises that God has for us. All right, this last video we have is Joyce Meyer, and she's talking about complaining.
Now, the easiest thing in the world to do is complain. You don't have to try to. Our flesh, we all have one, and we're going to have one until Jesus comes back, must be disciplined by walking in the Spirit. And the flesh does not like to be uncomfortable or interrupted are inconvenienced in any way. And the moment that it is, you're going to have some facial expression, some body language, some emotion is going to rise up. And I just think that God wants us to startle the world, to shock the world, by being a body of people that don't complain and murmur and find fault, but actually are really grateful and thankful for every little thing that we can find to be grateful and thankful for. I'm going to believe, because wishing don't do much good, so I'm going to believe that you're going to get this today. And that you're going to study this on your own. I know we hear a lot about being thankful, but I believe that we can have thank power in our life. I think that being thankful is powerful. And I'm very concerned about all the murmuring, grumbling, and complaining that's going on in the world today. So many people are complaining about the government. Well, whatever you think. There are obviously problems that sometimes need to be discussed, and we need to confront them and do something about them. But you know what? Complaining doesn't change anything. It does not change anything. All it does is just make the devil happy. And he's just like, "Yeah, go ahead, you silly people. Just complain, 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 and don't do anything about it." And that's what people do. They complain, but they don't do a thing to change it. Let me tell you something that I find interesting. Habakkuk had a complaint. The Bible says that he went to God with his complaint. And you know what God said to him? "Get a vision and write it down so plainly that everybody who passes by might be able to read it." So I love that. Here's a prophet of God who had a complaint, went to God with his complaint, and God said, "Get a vision." We don't need a complaint. We need a vision. And we don't need to be complaining about our government, our nation. What we need to do is get a vision to stand up and be the way that we should be and believe that God can use us to make a difference. Martin Luther had a complaint about racism, but he had a vision to change it. Amen? It won't do you any good to complain about all your debt. Get a vision to get out of debt. Ooh, this is good. It won't do you any good to complain about what you think is your bad marriage. Get a vision. Pray. Ask God, what can I do to make this better? Is there something that you can do through me to make this better? You see, this passivity and inactivity of just sitting around and complaining about everything that's going wrong is only compounding the problem. It is not making anything any better. It takes energy to complain. But it drains you. It sucks the life right out of you. There's many things that I'm thankful for right now. I'm thankful that I don't have a headache today because for 10 years I preached when I had migraine headaches. Nobody didn't know that. I didn't have one every time I got up to preach. But many times while I was preaching, I would feel like I had a knife sticking in my eye. I'm grateful today that my back is not hurting. Because I've had back issues in my life, and a couple of years ago, I had a spell where my back was hurting really, really bad for 4 months, and nobody knew it, but I would stand and preach, and by the time I'd get off the platform, I could barely move. And I'm grateful that I don't have a headache today, and I don't have a backache today. Amen? I'm grateful that I don't look as old as I am. Woo! That's big. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that at my age, God's given me the grace to go to the gym and work out with weights 3 times a week. You ought to see the muscle this girl's got. Check that out. Woo, hallelujah. I still shop in the young ladies department. I don't... You know, there's a line when you go to the store. There's an area you start to float into where everything gets to looking boxy, and that's the older people's department. I don't go in there. I stay over here where it's still got a little curve. I'm grateful that I get to go home today because I haven't been home in 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing my dog. I'm grateful for so many things. And I intend when I get on the plane this afternoon to just have another little moment with God and say, now, what am I thankful for right now? I think if we'll be more aggressive in actually taking several times a day and saying, God, what am I thankful for right now? You can capture that moment. You can own that moment. And you'll be amazed at how it's going to cheer you up if you'll do that. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? You know, there's not a person in here today that doesn't have something to be thankful for. I'm thankful this morning when I got up, I said, God, I am thankful that I can walk and talk and see and hear. Wow. How amazing that is.
So you have your mandates. You have your assignments. Be thankful. Be appreciative of everything that God is doing, will be doing tomorrow. It's so critical in this hour that we take this message to heart. And it is special because it's Thanksgiving, but I only want to emphasize this on Thanksgiving. This should be a daily practice for all of us. It will keep us out of so much trouble. Father, I just thank you for these words. I thank you for the message about complain at your own risk. We, your people, are just so grateful and appreciative for what you have been doing in this ministry, in our lives. And Father, if it wasn't for you, none of this would be going on. As we come before you tonight for the altar service, we pray that your anointing would just fall and just touch each and every person that comes forward for the special need or the request that they're making before you. And Father, we pray that as we go forward, that we all would go deeper in your revelation. We would grow deeper in your love and your patience. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.